Welcome to the Dangerous Men podcast. Today we have Johnny and Spencer with me, and we are interviewing Professor Bill Waka. Spencer, you want to introduce our guest?
Yes, it's quite a pleasure to have Bill here. He has been a professor at Southwest Baptist University for 29 years. He is a licensed clinical social worker. He has his own practice, and he has done premarital counseling for more than 400 couples. He has also developed a culture of having dangerous men groups and a dangerous men club on his campus that has been hugely influential. As of now, Bolivar has had many hundreds of men go through dangerous men. We did calculate it at one point.
Well, the boys the other night said that it was really a dangerous men club, and above that is the Freedom Club with the Unveil and Dangerous Men underneath it. Is that right?
Yeah, it's a Freedom Club with dangerous men and
for the men
Unveil and, underneath
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
But it's not a dangerous club or well, dangerous men club.
Okay. We'd like to know how you came across Dangerous Men and what you thought of it and why you picked it up so much and basically how you're taking it to your campus and why.
So I've worked with a lot of men with pornography through the years and working with a lot of dealing with the defensive side. And my success was not nearly what I wanted it to be. I also have done the Freedom in Christ program. And the problem with Freedom in Christ, though it's a great program, what I found is the men that were really caught up in pornography, I can still see it in my mind, would come to the group, and one in particular would sit there with his head down and his hood over his head because he was under so much conviction. And he couldn't deal with the conviction to make it through the program. So he quit the program and ended up, he was going into the ministry, but I think at that point it wasn't happening. So seeing both sides of that or seeing both of those approaches, neither one was really working, at least not to the extent that I wanted it to. So as I was thinking through that, working on all the other programs and all the other things that I do, that just kind of sat to the side. As I was working with a young man, working through the loss of his mother, it came up that he had been in this program working with pornography and had really helped him. And so he brought me the book, and I took the book, and I sat it on the shelf, and I went on to do other things. And then he came back to me and said, I want my book back, and so I actually picked it up and looked at it. And the thing that intrigued me about it was that it did the Freedom in Christ material, which I really like, and it covered sexuality and specifically dealing with pornography and masturbation, all those issues. It covered them well and very honestly. So putting those two things together then intrigued me, but my schedule was still too full, and I put it on the shelf again. So that went on for a while until I went through a period of time that I had undiagnosed disease that really wiped me out to the point that I was looking at retiring at 56 or so, and that was the plan. Until that point, I slowed down everything I did, was cutting out of programs, and kind of moved back. So that happened, and at that time, I just got this impression over and over that I needed to start a club, and I said, Lord, I can't really do that, and so I must not be hearing you right. It must be just my drive to do things. And so I thought the best way to deal with this is to ask my wife. And so I asked my wife, and she said, yeah, that's what God said. And I said, okay, on that. So I knew this is what I was supposed to do, but I'm still thinking, Lord, I can't do this. And I told him that. And he said, I didn't ask you to. I didn't ask you to solve the problem. I didn't ask you to start a program. I just told you to step forward. So with that, then, I was thinking about how do I get this done? I lead a class on self-improvement. Everybody has to do a goal in that class. And one of the guys said he wanted to work on pornography, and he had this book, and I looked at the book and told him, well, I've got another book that's really good. Why don't you do this one? And in fact, if you lead a group with me, then I'll actually give you 50% of the class grade if you do this. So he said yes. And what he didn't know is because of the disease I was working with, I was in a rut every other day with no energy and no ability to really think. And so I taught every other week when I was doing well, and he taught on the opposite weeks. So the first thing that happened then from there, I'm going, okay, that's good, but where do we get the group? So we announced it and we advertised it and all that good stuff, and nobody showed up. And I said, Lord, I step forward, thank you, now I get to step back. And he said, no, step forward again. And so in the second time, there was three people. In the third week, we had our eight. So from that point on, that group developed and did really good with the material. And then in that, I kept encouraging them that we needed to go through the freedom retreat at the end. And they kept skirting the issue. And then I talked to Lowell, and Lowell said, yeah, tell them I'll pay for the group if they all go. So I did, and they got it together, and we planned to do that, but the problem is I didn't have a van, and I didn't have a budget, so a group on campus said, we'll give you the van, and didn't have gas, somebody else took care of the gas, I just asked one person on each of these. I didn't have a driver, because I knew I couldn't drive up 13 hours, because I couldn't even drive 30 miles without parking and taking a break, taking a nap. So with all that going on, there was a guy in the group that actually was older than the rest of the groups. He was old enough to get go through the training, so now I had a driver. And we headed up the weekend before finals, which usually you can't do anything, but it happened anyway. So as we started up, it was on one of the days that I was really sick, or supposed to be. It was every other day for 2 years, except for one day. And that was the one day that the day switched was the day I came up and I drove for 13 hours.
Yeah. So, thank God he does things.
He does things.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the year we started, and since that time, then we've had one every semester, and the groups continue to grow, and the number of the groups, for the last several semesters, we've averaged 50 in different groups.
Per semester?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So how many years has it been?
Five.
Okay, so about 100 people every year go through Dangerous Men with you.
Yeah. Some of those go through it more than once.
Yeah.
That's how many are in the program.
And the leaders go through it more than once,
yes,
obviously.
Yes, and the leaders, yeah. And
they can't be a leader unless they've gone through it and the steps of freedom, right?
Right. They can't be. And we have the leaders in groups of two for a lot of reasons. One, so that the guy that's been through as a leader before can train up the next guy and so on. So we always send them through with two leaders.
Yeah. I remember last year when I was down for one of them, mm-hmm. between K-Life, who the leader of that went through it once too and then brought it to K-Life. It's right. A high school ministry. Mm-hmm. And the college, there was 90 young men that started to learn about their identity and sexuality in a healthy way and forgiveness and all the other things that go with it. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And even this time when we've been here and I did a seminar last weekend and one coming up this weekend for the university, right. And then meeting with groups. We've met with small groups every night, mm-hmm. except tonight. Mm-hmm. It's been really encouraging to talk to high school kids, talk to college kids, talk to leaders, just how positive and honest and open they all are about it. And they've all been through it or are going through it, you know, and it's amazing what God has done just because you were obedient.
We've had several of the guys also take it home.
Yeah.
So they go on breaks and they take it home to their church or their youth group.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
I know of three other churches in Missouri that use it or have used it.
Throughout the country, there's, of course, a lot of Dangerous Men groups that are going on at different college campuses. What has made Southwest Baptist University perhaps a little bit different is that you have found a way to make a club on campus, and the administration is involved in some way. And so what steps did you take with the administration to make DM into a club or Freedom Club, and how has the administration helped you as you have done this?
Because I would like people like you on every college campus, and we don't have it. It's usually run just by students.
And then you don't have the continuity.
Right, right. Because if they don't get someone to take over for them and they're out in 4 years, and then sometimes it just dies off.
I found out after the first semester or so that there was, through student life, there was a system of clubs of different types, and they gave them money. And so I went and talked to the guy in charge of that at that point and said, hey, we've got this going. And he said, that's great. Here's the forms. Fill those out. For a couple of years now, one of the things, like everywhere, there's not as much money as there once was, and there's not as much for clubs. So we put on a request, and we always get 100%. the campus sees it, and actually the person who chooses that is a female this year, a student, but she's seen the impact on campus, and so they fund us fully.
If someone listening to this would like to get a club going on their campus, how would you suggest they start?
The first thing I'd like to say is why. And I can't imagine, because I spend an hour to an hour and a half a week, because I lead the leadership group. So they come together. In fact, they lead it and I just attend. And so 7 to 12 guys. So I put in an hour to an hour and a half because I meet with someone before and I impact all of them, mm-hmm. plus all of their, because I do premarital. So all of their girlfriends and their fiancés and their wives and their children and children's children. I mean, it's going to keep going. So
yeah.
I can't imagine a ministry where you put so little time in comparison to so great reward.
What would you tell somebody get it going on their campuses?
All right. So for example, a case study, my younger brother's at Grand Canyon University, and seeing what you guys have done up here at SBU wants to model that. He's gotten some groups started, him and another guy. However, the continuity is a little bit hard, and he wants to try to get a club kind of established so that there's that continuity that he's seen you guys put forth here.
To get a club started on most campuses, he's got to get a sponsor. And so that's a big part of that. So being able to explain to a sponsor how he's going to impact. And all of us are too busy, so that comes down to the fact of, one, where's the passion, but also where's the time commitment? You know, I can work with one guy 1 hour a week, or I can work with 50 guys through. And not only am I helping them in the area of working with dealing with pornography, but this is about developing men. And so I get to work with the leadership and see guys changing that. And I know their future ministry. So that's part of it. But the other part of that is, if you can start with freshmen, okay, that's great. What we tried to target was RAs, so resident assistants. And often on campuses, they're responsible for doing a Bible study. And so one of the things we like to do is come in and say, hey, you've got to do a Bible study. Hey, I've got a Bible study for you. And I even have somebody lead that Bible study. So now you can just attend and we've got it covered. And if you can get the freshman group going, then from that, so when you go to the Freedom Weekend, when you do that part of it, and they're all excited and they're realizing what God's done in their lives, then you speak to them and say, okay, who's going to lead next year? And then as soon as they say, okay, I'm ready, then we have a leaders meeting that next week. Okay, so a few days after that, they come to that meeting. We get them together. We get them start dividing up in teams, get some strategies going that way. And then I set the meeting date for the next semester. It's mm-hmm. Tuesday night at 6. We've done that for every semester for, you know, 4 years, I think, now. So I just tell the guys, don't schedule anything else on that night. You know, ahead of time, that's it. And they don't. So that's how we get going.
How hard do you think it would be to get a faculty sponsor? I mean,
God does things.
Yeah.
So I think
that,
so I think there's a lot of prayer that's involved in that.
Yeah.
But most faculty have a heart for students.
Yeah.
And they want to have an impact. So the big thing is a student just telling them, hey, here's what I want you to do. This is what it looks like. Here's what I need. And understanding what that looks like. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
I guess kind of branching off that, what have you done to help keep Dangerous Men on campus with the turnover of students being so rapid? What have you implemented?
Prayer does things. Yeah. The other part of that is I'm always have my eyes open for the next leader. And so we're talking about current leaders got a year left. So who is it that we're going to cultivate? Who are we working with?
And so when you're talking leaders, are you talking group leaders or like a leader in general of the whole club?
I was thinking of the whole club.
Okay.
So I'm focused on that. But the group leaders, they step forward usually at the weekends.
Okay.
And the reason I continue to be in it are things like happened last year. One of the guys at the ceremony at the end, when we throw the paper into the fire, he stepped forward and said, it impacts me greatly. He said, I've given up and I didn't think I'd ever get free. And my ministry was just not going to happen. But he had enough courage or belief, though it was barely, to get into a group. And then from that, then that weekend said, I'm free. And I talked to him this semester. I said, how are you going? And how are you doing? He says, you know, I may fall in again, but I'm free. And re-understanding that concept that he wasn't caught up in it. He may, you know, he may make a mistake or he may fall, but he's never going back. It's not happening.
Yeah.
And that kind of freedom, you know, and that kind of wisdom that he has. And he's leading a group now of some guys. And so that's been, and then I have another guy that I put in his group that is engaged, and his fiance, I mean, she's really worried about it and was and all of that. And I told her, and so he's now in the group. He's doing great. I got one of the cards that we use for the fighting partners, and I give it to the women, give it to the girlfriends, and they look at that and go, this is real. He's doing something.
Yeah.
He's committed to something. And so they just, they really relax and like, okay, okay, we're going to be okay.
And those cards are the ones I send with the books?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
So branching off that, on your campus, there's not only Dangerous Men, but there also have been Unveiled groups.
Yeah.
Sort of a female version. What has been your role with that, and how has that taken off? And
there hasn't been a woman that's been willing to step forward. So I lead through, and that's where we came up with the Freedom Club, was to be able to have an umbrella so I didn't have to start two clubs. So I am responsible for that club also. We still hope and pray that that'll happen. It hasn't at this point. So there's a leader with that group that's a very, has been a, well, both of them have been very strong leaders. And so they take it on. I help more think about how to recruit somebody else and how to keep the program going and how to think through that. But being a counselor, that helps me with the women's group because I've done a lot of work there. I don't know that most men would want to oversee that, but
how many students do you think have gone through Unveil so far? Approximately.
I'd say about 50.
About 50. Okay.
Over the years.
So yeah. Still starting, trying to get going.
Yeah. Yeah, and
well, 50 is pretty cool.
It is.
I mean, I don't mind to put that.
No, no.
Yeah, 50 on one university is exciting. It's just the numbers of 500 men, you know, is really exceptional, and I'm so thrilled to watch God use it in that way.
And we know it's an issue for women, but it's just so hard for them to open up and to that and to talk about that and wonder what the other women will think. And women don't often trust each other with that information the way that men do. And it's seen as something that men deal with, and so it's okay to talk about, but women really struggle with that.
Yeah.
So the group now, we do have Unveil, but then we have another group that's a spinoff of that that's dealing more with relationship stuff. So it's more relationship focused, but it came from that.
Okay.
You have been a professor of psychology for almost 30 years. And from that kind of perspective, what do you think makes Dangerous Men effective versus that there's plenty of peer teen ministries that go on and that you had mentioned see less success rate in your experience? And so what is it about Dangerous Men that you believe makes it successful?
I want to interrupt here and say
God.
It's not a purity ministry.
That's what I said. I said there is
those
purity
other
ministry.
Purity
he did,
ministries.
He did. Yeah.
I made the distinction.
Okay. Well, it's not a purity ministry. It's not about guilt. So I think that's really important. It recognizes that sexuality is something that God ordained, that it was his idea. And so men are able to see, okay, it's okay to be a man. It's okay. And therefore, that's good. And so I think, well, not only this generation, but for generations, we want truth. And we're tired of we want things that are true. So I think because of that and because of how it presents, that's important. But the other aspect of that you don't usually see is the freedom in Christ. So marrying those two together makes it very unique. I also like some of the vocabulary. So fighting partners is really helpful because most men who have dealt with this for any period of time have had accountability partners. And so accountability partners has got a bad name. How have you done this week? Yeah, I messed up. How about you? Me too. Maybe we'll talk next week. And so there's no depth in that. And so when they ask me what a fighting partner is, and I get to define that, because they have no idea what that looks like. So we're able to look at something that is very distinctive as far as a fighting partner compared to what a typical accountability partner is. So the accountability, the working one-on-one, the working together, and then the group leaders, them coming together, then I can help them think through issues. Like we had one group that continually confessed to each other, and that was a good part of their meeting as a group, and they would actually text each other all the time talking about that. Well, all they talked about was their defeat and not how to get free. And so we were able to say, okay, that doesn't work. Let's go in this direction. So that's where the meeting together, that's why I spend my time with that, because we can talk about what works and what doesn't and get them encouraged.
Yeah, it's very helpful. I really think focusing on the positive view of sexuality in the Bible has been something that has been hugely lacking in the church for far too long. And I agree, the fighting partners, I have been a part of accountability groups and have gotten nowhere and sometimes relapsed and gone even worse because there's an expectation that failing is okay. Mm-hmm. And being in a group where it's, no, purity is the, like, complete freedom is the standard. And that's what we're going for has been huge in my walk.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Go to dangerousmenunited.org where you could purchase the book, which is a small group curriculum. And there's a lot of other resources on the website. And don't forget, be a man to men, a warrior to demons, and always God's boy.